Sox, Bruins, Celtics, and Revs Audio, all in one convenient location on the podcast page at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app. Get the app, get the Sports Hub, get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
High fives from everyone! High fives from everyone! Everyone get in on the high five party!
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon and welcome to Gillette Stadium for this Week 13 encounter of the 8-3 New England Patriots and the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah!
Hollister, the double-sided right knee trip motion to give to the fullback. Devlin, he's in! Touchdown! James Devlin with his second in the last three games, and the Patriots strike first. Brady takes the snap, drops back under pressure, slides up, throws down the middle, catch by Gordon at the five, turns to the end zone! Touchdown, Patriots! Tom Brady!
You can't stop that!
Takes the snap, dropping back, feeling pressure, loads up and throws a long ball left for Robinson behind the defense. It's knocked
by it.
Jackson,
yes.
And intercepted by Harmon in the end zone!
Mantra.
Brady turns, gives it to Devlin up the middle, and going to the end zone! James Devlin times two! Touchdown, Patriots! His second of the day!
That's the way you cap the drive off!
Cousins sends Treadwell in short motion from the left. The quarterback takes the snap. Gives it, hands it to Murray. Runs it right side. He got stopped.
He got stopped.
Patriots.
Take
it back. The ball carrier.
No, it's a bad spot.
Flowers. The first down.
No, bro, you got to challenge this. They got a good spot. He didn't get there. Go to flag, Bill.
Belichick is reaching for the challenge flag. Thielen is yelling at Belichick, and now Thielen is yelling at Kyle Van Noy. What are you talking about with the head coach of the Patriots?
How many games have we called this year? I'll take all those receivers over Thielen's this guy. This guy hasn't done anything today.
Mantra.
Back to Cousins. A blitz, a throw down. But the tackle is made by Gilmore. Treadwell, Vikings turn it over on down.
Check downs all day, baby. That's a 29 mil by
him. An impressive win over the Minnesota Vikings by a 24-10 final guarantees the Pats franchise a 19th consecutive winning season.
Bill, prior to the second challenge, when you and Adam feeling the competitiveness there, is that just two competitive people exchanging holiday greetings?
Yeah, pretty much.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and the man behind the mic is So to the She. S-O-C-C to the I. You want to know who's talking? It's this guy. Bob Soucy is brought to you by the New England Fat Loss Personal DNA Plate Strategy. When you know your plate, you maintain your weight. This is science, not sales. New England Fat Loss is New England's long-term solution for sustainable weight loss. Hello!
Hey, Fred and Rich. I'm going to open the broadcast next week, maybe, with that.
Yeah,
I like it.
You should.
Yeah,
you do. You just call yourself a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah. I know. God knows that everybody else calls me a bunch of different stuff.
Yeah, I wonder what Zolak was calling you yesterday, because I've never heard somebody, like, I've listened to you guys a lot, and Zolak yesterday seemed to be more pissed about one single play than I've heard him in a long time. Like, after that James White third and one direct snap to him.
Third and a foot.
He might have gone 5 to 6 straight plays and mentioned that. For the next 10 minutes, he kept bringing that up. Boy, did that really piss him off yesterday.
Yeah, I'm just glad he had the self-control to insert a bleep after the word chicken,
yeah.
As opposed to giving us the expletive undeleted. But that particular play stuck in his craw for quite a while. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was very interesting, because he started to lose it, and it did lead to a score. So I could see why he was a little bit mad. But I mean, there's not a lot to complain about yesterday. I take it that there's. Defensively, is this who they are? It was against a good team, a good offense, and they seem to hold their own.
Well, they got to do it on the road. And I think that's, you know, the test for this team now is kind of be consistent. But we've seen them in the last two home games do a very good job. Now, I know the Packers have gone through their problems, but that's still potentially a very good offense and a great quarterback. And to play the way they did against Cousins, get the pressure and confuse him. And, you know, Diggs was not at full strength or full speed, it appeared. But nonetheless, I thought they did an excellent job frustrating those three big targets for Cousins. Rudolph had a couple of nice catches, including one down the seam where he fought for the football, another for a first down, but the tight end wasn't a real impact player in that game. And Thielen had a touchdown catch, but other than that, most of the yards and a few receptions he had late, you know, was in, for all intents and purposes, garbage time. So I thought overall they did a really good job defensively. Looks like they're taking some more chances of late, where they're trying to confuse quarterbacks, bringing guys to the line of scrimmage, including the safeties, and then dropping them back, you know, showing more looks where there's nobody deep before the quarterback gets under center or starts, you know, to call out the play at the line of scrimmage. So I think they're doing a much better job there. It's closer to a complete performance for them, I think, and overall their best win of the year.
What was your view on the whole Thielen Belichick thing? We've heard the audio of you and Zoe making that call, but I'm just wondering what you guys are thinking sitting there in the booth.
Well, you know, it's funny because Zoe did know what Thielen objected to. And that was, you know, the actions of Patrick Chung. And, you know, we don't know whether he was, you know, injured or not. Thielen thought he was not, but it's a heady play. It's you know, you're looking for any opportunity to get another look at the review. And I certainly thought that the Vikings got a beneficial spot. And I know we kind of see things through our own biases, but looking at it a couple of different times, and the word stands was used by the referee, and I think that's the only reason why the play wasn't overturned. They didn't have enough video evidence to overturn it based on the spot, which came from, I believe it was the line judge on the near side of the field where the linesman on the other side of the field had a better look at it. But, yeah, you know, I look, it's an emotional game. Thielen's an emotional player. We saw him complaining a lot and jawing a lot with Patriot players. I thought there was a lot of talk back and forth, more so than usual, between Brady and the Vikings, it appeared, as the game went on. So I don't know what was going on throughout the day, but the Patriots certainly came out intent to send a message, not so much verbally, but physically, with that first play to Dalvin Cook when Elandon Roberts leveled him. And, you know, that was certainly a sign that the defense had intentions of playing very physically and try to send a statement right away to the Vikings.
The one piece of bad news to come out of the game yesterday, and I don't know if you want to say it was sad to watch, is that Rob Gronkowski did not play well yesterday. He had, I think, three different penalties. He was clearly not 100%. He took a shot low. And for all of us that have watched Gronkowski over the years just be a dominant tight end and more than likely the best tight end ever to play the game, watching him yesterday was not a lot of fun.
John, I can't disagree with that, and it's really been the feeling watching him over the last few weeks when he's been out there, and we know, of course, he has not been out there for, what, three of the last six games now. And one particular play, not just the hit where he got up slowly, but the catch that he made that eventually was overruled after being initially judged a first down. You see Gronkowski in the open field one-on-one against the defensive back, and Anthony Harris was able to hold him up and not allow any, you know, progress after the catch. And that's a situation where in the past we have seen Gronk, you know, slap the guy away and then pick up an additional 5, 10, 15, maybe even more yardage after that. And, you know, we're just not seeing him move around the way he used to. He still has an impact on the game because defenses have to pay attention to him, and there's always that potential that he has his breakout day for them. But it's certainly not the same seeing the big guy these last couple of weeks against the Jets and the Vikings, although he's had some effect on the games, including a touchdown reception in those two contests. But nonetheless, yeah, I can't disagree with, you know, what you say. And I guess, you know, we'll find out whether this is Gronk going forward and or, you know, whether there's going to be some period of recovery for him where he gets back closer to what we were accustomed to in the past.
All right. Who's coming out of the AFC? Now that we've seen, it's gotten kind of strange because you've got Kareem Hunt, who's no longer with the Chiefs. You've got a Chargers team that nobody believes in because they always find a way to crap themselves, the end of the season. And then you've got a Steelers team that finds ridiculous ways to lose and a Texans team that Bill O'Brien always seems to crap himself whenever they play the Patriots. A
lot of crapping.
There is a whole lot of diarrhea flying everywhere in the AFC. So who do you believe in? Who do you think is going to make it to the Super Bowl with this amount of evidence that we have so far?
Yeah, Rich, I think it is wide open. And I will say this. I think this Texans team is more dangerous than in the past because of the way Watson is playing these days compared to what we saw in week one. And I thought that the Texans last year showed something that was different from what we've seen with them. And you talk about O'Brien going up against Belichick. And he did falter late in that game, we'll recall, when he didn't call a timeout, and they wasted a lot of time before their last second heave to the end zone early last season. But Watson's playing very, very well. And defensively, there is a difference, I think, that Tyrann Mathieu makes and Justin Reed in their secondary. They're much better at the safety position. All that being said, you know, as hot as they are right now, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for them to maintain this streak through the end of the regular season and then through the postseason, and still, even when they meet the Patriots, history is on the Pat side in that matchup, as you know. Kansas City's still a dangerous team. They just, I think, whether it's, you know, Spencer Ware or they sign C.J. Anderson or they're bringing in for a workout today, they'll be lacking that explosive element that Kareem Hunt brings, and that takes away from the Chiefs. And as far as the Chargers concern, you know, the Steelers gave them that game last night, or at least helped to give it away, but I got to give the Chargers a lot of credit. This is a gritty team. They were playing down several starting defenders. Melvin Gordon didn't play in that game. And to go on the road in Pittsburgh and fall behind the way they did to become the first team trailing by double digits and beat the Steelers in Pittsburgh, that says something about the Chargers that, you know, maybe we haven't seen from Chargers teams in the past, whether under Schottenheimer, Turner, or Anthony Lynn.
All right, Bob Soucy, always wonderful. Thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, see you, man.
Appreciate it. We'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
Mark Jamelius, a recliner Christmas. Meeples everywhere.
I love meeples.
The prettiest sight to see is the recliner that will be sitting next to my other three.
Three recliners.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And today is the big day, and tomorrow we can rejoice over the results. Today is the day that Mark Jamelli, young, sickly Nick Jamelli's dad, who has three recliners in his living room, and has been looking for a fourth. Isn't that right, Nicholas?
That's right.
All right, so today, young Nick is going to pick up his father in the North End. From his one-bedroom apartment, they're going to...
No. Somebody's picking us up.
Yes.
It's unbelievable. I just want all my neighbors to see me getting into a limo.
Right. a limousine will be going to his one-bedroom apartment in the North End, right across the street from the parking garage with the blue light.
That's right. He does have the blue light there,
which
yes.
Which is the selling point of the home, according to Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be whisked away to Bernie and Phil's.
To go to Bernie and Phil's. Wow. That's like a dream come true.
In Saugus.
Really is.
And he is going to have he's going to have his beverage. He's going to be able to give each one of those recliners a try.
So this is like, okay, so for you don't happen to know him, he sleeps in a recliner, and he hasn't slept in a bed ever since you've been alive, right, Nick?
That's correct.
Okay, so yes. Before you were even born, so you could arguably say you were conceived in a recliner.
Most likely, yes. Oh,
okay, so I mean, there we go. So I would think that
there's a lot of younger Nicholases spread around town.
A lot of brothers and sisters that never made it. So,
hey Nick, knock before you come in. I'm having sex.
So, is everything all set up? Like
Charlie's Angels is on.
Everything is all set, yeah. So the limousine is pulling up at 10:45.
Okay.
And then we are, then we go to Bernie and Phil's in Saugus.
Okay, and all the people are there. They're going to be ready and waiting. And apparently you can just go around and just try one out. And he's going to be, is he going to have his little drink with him?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I'm he's going to sit down and make sure that he feels good with the drink. Now, from what I hear, like these are fairly, like he could choose like one of the high tech ones that has like heating pads and stuff in it.
Heating pads, massage,
is that
lumbar support.
Is he going to like embrace that or is he complete old school? Like, you just like the wooden handle?
I don't know. I think he's a like a wooden handle kind of guy. He likes it old school.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
But then, you know, you go in there and you go, I don't know, and then you see space-age technology. I mean, when was the last time? Like, how do you think he's acquired his past easy chairs, recliners?
Probably on the side of the street or something. Yeah.
It's the North End way.
He seems
North End way.
North End Christmas. He seems like a kind of guy who finds a lot of stuff on the street.
Right.
Like, there's nothing wrong with this. I don't even have to clean it.
So when you talk to him, he's obviously excited, right?
Yeah, he's totally excited.
All right. Is he dressing up for the occasion?
I don't know.
Does he have a tuxedo?
No. He has, you know, he has suits. I don't think he has a tuxedo.
I wear them to funeral. So he's going to, do you think he'll wear a suit or do you think maybe it's better for him just to be comfortable?
I don't know. I think he might dress up like a bun up. It's going to be tucked in.
What does he sleep in?
Slacks, his underwear, and a t-shirt.
Are they tidy whities?
Yeah. They sure are.
That generation didn't wear boxers.
No, my dad wore tidy whities too.
My dad was complete tidy whities.
Yeah, sometimes not good, not a good thing.
Nope. I don't think anybody that's like over the age of 60 wears boxers.
No, I would agree to that.
Definitely not.
It's like it's too much freedom, man.
How many hours a day do you think your father is not in his underwear?
I don't know. It's probably a good amount of the day. And then he puts on some slacks, maybe.
Okay, so maybe. So during the day, sometimes he's just like,
yeah, you know, he likes to set.
Are they like the saggy kind of tidy whiteies?
Sorry, Fred, I haven't really studied his underwear.
I could tell you exactly how my dad's underwear looks.
They are kind of saggy now that you think of it.
I mean, all right, there, rock star. I mean, you see your dad a lot. I mean, he's walking around in his underwear. I mean, I don't look at that.
I honestly try not to look at my.
Well, it's not like I'm staring at my dad, but I mean, he walked around in his underwear constantly.
No.
And there was nothing like my dad when he would get up and he'd hear that there was a friend over. And I'm becoming that way too. When he's like, ah, damn it. And then you have to put on pants. Yeah, my father with the robe.
Yeah.
The robe would be open with no underwear. And then he'd be like, ah.
My father, we used to call him the scratch monster because at some point between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m, he would wake up the entire house because he had this unbelievable gift. Then when he would walk out to adjust the thermostat in the hallway, he would scratch himself, and it echoed so loudly in our hallway. He was like a human scratch ticket. And it would release this odor that would just permeate the hallway. Yeah. And then he would just take his tidy whities back into bed and pass out.
All right, so is your dad, does he eat in the recliner?
Yeah. Oh, right. Absolutely.
So his life is basically in the recliner.
Yes.
All right, so will he be afraid of this particular recliner and if it's, like, space-aged?
I don't know if... No. I think
Will he keep, like, a plastic cover on it?
Honestly, I think he's going to try to go old school. And no, but he will not, like, put, like, plastic on it or anything like that. I think he'll try to stick on with old school, but I think he'll fold and get one of the new... futuristic recliners.
I want to hear the sound of the heat pad kicking on as he's sitting in it.
Well, I'll tell
I want to hear his reaction as he feels that, ooh, this is a toasty little chair.
Well, here's one that they suggest, the Southern Motion Recliner. The cozy recliner with deep tissue air massage heat and lumbar support.
Nice.
Does he ever have you give him massages?
No.
Okay. Nicholas, come here. I got a knot in my back.
Meatball. We recline.
You are a dick.
My name is Macho Bellyberg.
Fantastic. It's at 3 o'clock. I have my first Manhattan.
Go Red Sox.
So you're going to record the entire thing, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
When's the first Manhattan today?
As soon as I arrive to his house.
Yeah, you got to get a celebratory Manhattan.
Manhattan.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, because what he gets up at like 3 in the morning, right?
He's up at like 5:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not ridiculous to enjoy yourself in Manhattan at 10:45 in the morning.
No, it's not ridiculous at all if you have nothing better to do besides picking out a recliner.
It's 2 o'clock somewhere.
Yes.
Okay, so he's going to be doing that in the Bernie Fields, and then you're going to be coming back, and he's going to drop you off. And I have a feeling I also want to speak with him once he gets it delivered later on. So I know that they're going to work on all that too. So that'll be good. All right. Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to this, Nick. I'm really excited about tomorrow.
I'm really excited.
Like, I can't think of anyone who's been more happy about anything than your dad is going to be today.
Yeah.
I mean, between the limo and then all, you know, I can't decide. He's going to be at that Bernie and Phil's for like 5 hours.
They're going to be like, boy, we should have thought this through.
He texts me after... We told him about it. He's like, do I keep the limo too? I was like, no.
No, you don't get to keep
it. Mark. Oh, Mark, you're being cute.
You jokester, you.
Mark Jumelli's got a new recliner. A chair whose cushions he'll sleep up above.
I sleep on her.
You gotta remember when you make a meatball.
All the meatballs will go.
The number one ingredient is love.
You gotta put a lot of love in it when you make the meatball.
All right. Well, good luck today, Nick.
Well, thank you. Real quick, do you think he'll stand on the seat and like stick his head out the sunroof and
maybe
like a kid going to prom?
Yeah,
yeah.
Hey!
I'm the king of the world. Yeah. Look, it's the Kowloon.
He was inviting like people to come on the limousine too,
like his friends,
like
a couple of whores.
Yeah, his friends. Oh, you got. Like
I call him my friend.
Did he invite the guy who sits in the street with no shirt on?
No, I don't think so. We don't go near him.
You don't talk.
We've been told not to go near him.
Not to talk to the guy with no shirt on who sits in the sun in the North End.
Exactly.
Even when it's cold.
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, who are his friends? The Mark Jumelli posse would be awesome.
I know.
Invite them to come.
I think it gets in the way.
I think it might be a distraction.
Yes,
to everything.
I think so too. Because he's been trying to be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all okay.
He invited my girlfriend's mom. And I was like, no, that's not a good
idea. She's single?
No, she's not single.
Oh, she's not single.
Well, we won't tell.
Okay. It is a limo, after all.
Yeah, Nick, anything goes. It's international waters.
Every corner is for booze.
That's right. Every corner is for booze.
All right. Well, is he on Facebook?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a disappointment. All right.
Why?
Just because I want him not to know how to use it. That's my fantasy.
You want to not know how to use it?
Yeah, like my parents don't know how to use Facebook.
Oh, my God. My mom does.
All right.
Whole lot of memes. We got a whole lot of memes.
All right, Rich. We have the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
Oh, the early college football playoff semifinals show two clear favorites, and the odds and over-unders are absolutely astounding. And, John, I have a drinking game for you.
Okay.
And the Hallmark Hall of Fame Christmas movies.
Oh, no.
Because
don't do that. There you have it. That is the expertise. John watches them all day, every day. We will have your headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5 the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare. What's going on, Rich?
The college football playoff semifinal games are set. You're going to have number one Alabama versus number four Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl, and number two Clemson versus number three Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl. And oh my God, the opening over under on the Alabama Oklahoma game. Have you seen this?
No.
79.5 points. I don't think I've ever seen that for a football game. I don't watch it. I don't bet on enough college football to know how crazy that is, but that seems a little absurd.
Well, the prediction by ESPN is Alabama 55, Oklahoma 37.
Okay. Well, that kind of goes along with the spreads. Mm-hmm. Right now, Alabama is favored by 14 over Oklahoma, according to the Vegas lines, and Clemson is favored by 11.5 over Notre Dame. And I think that the over-under on that game is 55.5. Oh, it was so great seeing all these UGA fans whining, saying that they deserve to be in the top four no matter what. And even Nick Saban was completely rubbing it in their eyes by saying, you know, they played us really well, and I think there's no better team. I think they deserve to be in the top. They deserve to be in the playoff. You know he's saying that just because, like, that's how good we are. Yeah. We beat another team that's going to be here in the playoff. And they lost two games.
Yeah, yeah, so, that was their second loss. And yeah. if Georgia had been fourth, they would have played Alabama again.
Yeah, non-conference champion. Yeah, no, that's they did the right thing by not putting him in there. So get ready for a high-scoring bowl season.
It's going to be fun to watch that game, that Alabama game against Oklahoma.
Yeah, that'll be
great. A lot of fun to watch. That quarterback's a Heisman Trophy candidate for Oklahoma.
What's his name?
Kyler Murray. He's okay. Like 5'10", like 185.
Well, there was a picture taken over the weekend. Greg Daniels, the creator of The Office, had a office reunion. That's right. The cast of The Office showed up at his place, and a picture was tweeted out by Angela from the show, said, some of the old gang got together today. It was great to see everyone. I turned to Ed and said, quote, I feel like we're a family reunion. And he smiled and said, we are. Heart emoji. Thanks, Greg, for hosting. For those who couldn't make it, you were missed, which got into the rumors that the reason they were all together is because a launch of a brand new Office revival.
Okay. The Office is on all day Sunday on Comedy Central. Seasons 8 and 9 are unwatchable.
Yeah, no, I've never watched season 8 and 9. Matter of fact, when Steve Carell left, I stopped watching it. And not because I didn't want to see it. It's just I lost interest. And I was like, all right, I'll get around to it eventually.
They're not good. Like, I'll turn it off, which is saying something. Yeah, so if it's got no... Because they brought Will Ferrell in, if you don't remember, to be like Carell's replacement.
He was like a placeholder until they could really figure out what they were doing.
And he wasn't funny at all. And so... It's a very difficult. And then they brought in some British woman who's supposed to be really big in England, but she wasn't very funny.
So seasons 1 through 5 are about as good as you can get on TV.
I'd say 1 through 7.
Well, see,
I think he left after season 7.
Okay.
And they went 2 more without him.
Now, the only thing about this photo that was taken is that there are 2 people who are absent from the picture, that being Steve Carell and John Krasinski. And to that, I couldn't care less about John Krasinski in The Office.
I think Krasinski would do it. I know he's having success.
He's a pretty big director now.
No, I know he's been having success, but I think that he has come out and said that he would be interested in doing it.
And Carell, probably not. Okay, you know, here's what pissed me off about Steve Carell. Steve Carell is doing what Bill Murray did, and that is he is now trying to win an Oscar. And you've robbed us of an extremely funny human being, and now he's in these... And by the way, I don't even think he's that good in these dramatic roles. It's like Jim Carrey tried to do it like The Truman Show, and I hate when they suck the life out of a truly funny person and they try to turn them into a dramatic actor. And it's not a proportionate trade-off. He's not that good at drama, but he kills in comedy. So you're taking us away from that.
I don't even understand what the movie that he's in that comes out in Christmas is about.
Welcome to Marwen.
Yeah.
So I just from what I saw from the trailer, it looks like a bunch of guys beat him up outside of some place, and he had like PTSD from that, like post-traumatic. Okay. And the only way he can communicate with other people are through these action figures that he designs and like he imagines his life through them. And Robert Zemeckis, the director, the guy who did Back to the Future, has it to where when he imagines the action figures, it's almost like a CGI world where he's one of the action figures. Right. It seems weird, but I just hate Steve Carell in serious movies. I don't want to see it. I want to see him as the dude from The Office. So I'd still watch that show, however. I would watch a couple episodes of The Office, even without him.
They'd have to come up with a star. Like, not someone who's a star necessarily now, but a guy that could...
That could be the boss?
You put Nick Kroll in that thing, maybe I'm interested.
Yeah?
You pop Nicky Kroll in there, maybe I'm interested.
As the boss?
Or as a character. He doesn't have to be the boss, but as a main character.
You know what? If they just threw a bunch of money at John C. Reilly...
Oh, yeah.
That would kill.
That would be another one.
Kill. Right there. You do John C. Reilly in the role of the boss of The Office, he'd kill.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
So, make it happen. Speaking of John C. Reilly, his movie's number one at the box office this weekend. Ralph Breaks the Internet. Every time I hear that commercial, I think it's Dr. Steve Brule who's speaking there. It came in with $25.8 million. The Grinch at number two. John, is today the day you go see Creed 2?
I'm thinking about it, yeah.
All right.
I have a day where I don't have a lot to do this afternoon.
You're going to the movies by yourself?
I may. I very well may.
That's a lonely thing.
I saw the Mission Impossible movie by myself. I saw that one when it came out, and it was... The movie ruled. I don't mind going to the movies by myself.
I just find it unwaveringly creepy.
Mm.
just to be in a room, a dark room by yourself, surrounded by strangers.
Well, I'm not wearing a trench coat or anything.
I was just thinking, a noon movie, I'm not going to be surrounded by many people either.
No, but that's even creepier.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just weird to me.
Okay.
I don't know why. It's unsettling.
At number four, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald. So many crimes, so much Grindelwald.
Is that a Harry Potter movie?
It's a prequel to the Harry Potter films, yes.
Okay.
Before the lives of Severus Snape and the rest of the Hogwarts Empire.
Just do the rest of the show in that voice. Please do the rest of the show.
Bohemian Rhapsody!
In that voice.
By the way, Bohemian Rhapsody is making $1 zillion. As a matter of fact, this weekend it crossed $500 million at the worldwide box office.
I'm going to tell you that I have never heard more Queen music in my life than I do right now.
Yeah.
There's a commercial with a Flash Gordon theme, which was one of my favorite albums when I was a kid. Bohemian Rhapsody's everywhere. And I'll tell you this about Bohemian Rhapsody. You give it a listen. Good stuff. Fifth time you hear it. No.
It's just because it's so odd.
Yeah, and it's so long.
And you think about it, and like, I don't know if they do this in the movie. I know a lot of people who saw the movie and liked it. But the one thing I wish that they did is the oral history of how that song was written and how everyone looked at him like he had four heads when he proposed this big musical part in the middle of it, you know, the Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia, and just the recording of it with all the different vocal lines.
They had a documentary on that on TV.
Did they have, like, how the tape, the reel-to-reel tape was wrapped around the room because there were so many different tracks they had to record for that one part?
Yes.
See, that's amazing to me. Like, that part of it is brilliant. Like, I'm going to try, here's what I'm going to do. It's so out there and so outrageous, and it's going to cost everyone a ton of money and a ton of time, and it could have failed miserably, but it ended up being amazing. Mm. So Bohemian Rhapsody is making a ton of cash. I heard it's great. I have not seen it yet. And the perfect drinking game for your Hallmark Hall of Fame films. This started like a month ago, right, John?
October 27th.
All right, and your wife watches this constantly.
Every day, the second she walks in the door, the TV is on Hallmark. There are like two or three different Hallmark channels with all sorts of different movies, and it's on constantly, yes.
Who's the rotation? Candace Cameron?
Lacey Chabert, Candace Cameron, and Danica McKellar are the three leaders in the club.
Who's Danica McKellar?
Winnie from the Wonder Years.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
All grown up. Yep.
Oh, so you got Winnie from the Wonder Years. Doesn't like some of the older moms, like Judith Light, make an appearance every once in a while?
I haven't seen her this year.
Yeah, it's like a MILF for Christmas, I think is the name of it.
Oh, it's a GILF. That's a GILF. She was a MILF on...
there's a G in front of that, yeah.
Angela.
That's right.
All right.
Judith Light is
so take one drink when two people just happen to stand under the mistletoe.
Oh, Jesus.
When someone explains the inane or irrational behavior by saying, it's Christmas. When a heroine is told that she's too blank to find love.
Right.
When a couple falls in love in less than a week. When you're introduced to a wise and mysterious old man who could very well be Santa Claus.
By the way, that's Ed Asner in a couple of days, in case you're wondering.
Ed Asner shows up in a few of these.
I've told you Roger Moore is in one or two of these. I'm telling you.
007?
Yes, 007.
Is he still alive?
He's got to be dead.
He's dead.
Meredith Baxter Burney?
I've seen her in one, yes.
My Breast Christmas? Isn't that the movie that she made?
Is that the one?
Right.
I forgot the title.
Yeah, I believe that's what it was.
Ed Asner is in a couple of these, though. He's a wise old man who, like, gets the two kids together that don't realize they belong
together.
What's
the hunk rotation? Dean Cain's got to be in there, right?
You know what? You're right. Dean Cain is in one of these. I did see him.
All right,
Dean Cain's gained a lot of weight, by the way. It's all in his face. It's really scary.
Dean Cain, Superman? I don't believe that.
Oh, believe it.
There is a scene of a woman trying on several outfits before going out. They do not have sinks into a spatula.
No, that requires too much money.
No.
This is low budget.
Our babysitter came home, was watching one with Candace Cameron where she played twins.
Yep.
It's so awesomely low budget that anytime she would have a conversation with her twin, they were never in the same scene together. It was just like the back of a head and then someone nodding.
Yeah, I'm not mistaken. Right. Candace Cameron has come out with like 15 self-help books. Like, she's like a guru to like the Christian community.
Well, why not trust Candace Cameron?
Yeah, why not? I mean, she had a brother who was up to all kinds of mischief.
Well, Kirk Cameron, you know, he'll tell you how to not be left behind.
He'll also tell you that the banana is inarguable proof of the existence of God.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
All right. We will find out. Zolak is in being very, if you are watching on Twitch, you can see him being very inappropriate with his mic. we will
talk. His mic said very happy.
Yes. He's not doing the Felger caress.
No. This is like, let's get it done.
Like, there's a guy with a mission involved.
We got a place to go.
He's in a rush.
This is prison zone.
All right. We will find out what they have on the way in just a moment. Hey, Scotty Z.
Hey. I'm sorry I didn't get to watch that Jets game with you.
Yeah, it was a real treat.
We were keeping an eye on the score. We're like, wow, how do we ever lose to Tennessee?
That's, well, you know, these things happen.
Dude, you crack me up. At the end of the first half.
Oh, I was pissed.
You were so pissed. And you wouldn't let it go.
I got to calm down. Nope, and I wouldn't let it go. Because that game didn't. It didn't. I swear to God, during the game, like, I would tighten up during Kansas City and who's the other one? Green Bay. When that game got tight, you're like,
yeah.
Oh, remember Green Bay had the balls a tie game and they were driving before they fumbled? Like, you're on pins and needles and you're, like, sweating, like, never once I sweat yesterday, and you let them, son of a, you know what's back in that game. It felt like that game, they blew them out. They really did. Patriots controlled the line of scrimmage. They did whatever they wanted to do. They stopped themselves. It was a stupid third down. Then you're running the damn fake crap on. What are we doing?
Why are you shotgun or empty on third and less than a yard?
Because you know why? Rex Burke hits back, and we need to get everybody in the game, and then we're going to go double whammy right with a fake reverse and direct
Jesus
snap. And
God.
Tom, fake your hands up.
So you think he's overdoing things? He's outsmarting himself.
Instead of just bringing Devlin in and give it to the meathead. Give it to the meathead. Meathead left, meathead right. Touchdown, touchdown. Meathead's got more touchdowns than the tight end meathead right now.
Yeah, he's got three, right?
He's got three. He's got more touchdowns than Gronk, which is scary.
Yeah, I mean, you just, it was great because about 10 minutes, you kept bringing it back up, and I was laughing with each time.
Because, like, why do you defer then? What are you deferring for? Like, and I'm waiting for Shaughnessy. He's like, oh, all right, I already smoked them. Patriots went up in coin toss. They defer. Game set match. Another tomato can comes in. And then there were guys like wide open. Like, it wasn't like you were struggling to move the ball. You had guys wide open in the flat, you know, 34 yards here, 24 yards. Couldn't even tackle them. And then, it ends up being a 10-7 game at the half. That game felt 24-3.
It did. Yes. They referenced you, by the way, on TV. They didn't say your name, but they were talking. I think it was during when Belichick and Thielen were going back and forth.
Oh.
And were you jumping around and kind of spazzing out at that point?
I jumped up because we had the perfect view of the play.
Yeah.
And you could tell he was a good half yard short.
Yeah, it looked like that on TV, too. That was, I mean, it was
easy.
Part of the problem, too, is Mike Pereira was sitting right next to Soucy through the glass.
Yeah.
And Bob would do the, mm-hmm. and then Buck's looking over, and he's pointing with Aikman. They're like, you guys are trying to see what.
They said they're going crazy.
Pereira had all the views.
Apparently, they made reference to that on the television broadcast.
I just told him that. Yeah,
sorry. Here's the problem, too. So the entire section in front of you turns around for every big play, and they're looking at us because we got all the camera angles, and then they got Fox, and we're like, no, he doesn't have it. He is short. And then they came back with it like, wow.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to overturn it.
That was astounding. I couldn't believe that.
How many times did Capello have to go grab you?
He grabbed me on a Josh Gordon one, but I was already okay because he was so wide open on it. I'm like, I'm going to let this sucker breathe by itself, and I get a flash, ready to go, you know, something like that.
So the concern is that you're going to yell over the call.
It's over. It's during like a Patterson kick return where, like, you can tell he's at the 40 and he's going to go the whole way. I'm up, ready to go. And Bob's like, he's at the 30, the 25, and Capella grabs me, squeezes, and when he's in the end zone, he lets go.
All right, well, listen.
Why does he physically grab you? That doesn't stop you from saying anything.
I would actually say
you're afraid of Twitch.
Hardy, you can step in front of the Twitch camera.
God,
it takes two. They're going to see like the back of your ass for a second.
Hardy's twitching in front of the Twitch.
By the way, thank you for joining us on Twitch today. You can continue to watch the show at twitch.tv/thesportshub every morning.
And
you can
get radio credit.
I'm on your time.
Yeah, right. You're on my time.
I welcome you in our time.
You'll sit here during my time.
Shut up. How you doing, Hardy?
Really good. How are you?
That was a fun drive in there. We love drives on Monday.
Bad?
Traffic's so much better.
It blows my mind.
Like, everybody goes back to work.
And I don't know if you guys have it, like, early, but Friday morning is a breeze.
Yeah.
Like, Friday morning is simple. Friday afternoon is the seventh circle of hell.
At 2?
Yes. It's like, okay, nobody's coming in today. Why is it so bad if everybody leaves early on Friday?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think there's anybody here. Nobody came in.
When we were at the other place and we would hit the Pike up there by Wellesley, it would be a parking lot both ways on 128 at 2:15, and I never understood that on a Friday. Jeez. Like 2:15.
Like people don't work.
Parking lot.
Yeah.
It's a millennial thing, I've been told. Just don't criticize. People go to work when they want to work, you know? Like, Mary Menna can roll in a building whenever Mary Menna wants to roll in a building. You know what I mean? See?
You going to take that?
Hardy rolls in when Hardy wants. These are millennials now, and we can't make fun of
them. Hardy's a millennial? He's older than me.
I just been told, Wiggy's pacing around in the hallway.
Younger than you.
Wiggy's been on 3 conference calls since I got here. Like, I don't really even think he was on his show today. He was out in the hallway. He's like, he's booking something, or he's dealing with some kids' issues.
Everyone else from every other radio station is constantly on their phone whenever they leave the studio.
Yeah. Well, I think.
What do you want to do? You want to come in here?
she won't let him in. This is
great. Oh, she won't let him in.
Hang on.
Yeah, he doesn't leave.
Somebody wants to come in. Uh oh.
Right.
The Wiggy alarm.
Chicken palm sandwich.
Wiggy's like a bad. Wiggy's like a bad shower. Like that fungus never goes away. Once you get the fungus.
Manja. I mean,
the Wiggy alarm has been triggered.
She's standing right there.
Can't come in.
Yeah. All right,
you're always welcome, Wiggy. What you know that.
That's not the point. That's not the problem.
I'm saying
here.
That just to torture you.
Why? He's not allowed in.
Is he threatening you? It looks like he's threatening you.
Yeah, he's not allowed in.
Wiggy's all fired up. I saw Ben Coach
really not allowed in.
Oh, yeah. When you were out of town, Fred, when we first got here, we did the Wiggy alarm and he got scolded.
I know.
Because
the other station was not happy with him after he came in here.
All right.
Not happy with him.
We're all football players.
All right. Football for 4 hours. That'll do it for us. Everyone have a fantastic day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.